Hello and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast where we talk about what's big, sad, and fun in the week of sports. My name is James. I'm here with
Edward Dickey.
Edward, I got a question for you.
What's going on? Let's do it.
I want you to imagine what it would be like if you lived in Italy.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you're an Italian. You're not an American. You're an Italian person in Italy, and you are a fan of the Euro Basketball League. And then you hear that LeBron James has signed a contract to come and play for his last couple years for the Italian, Italian Isis. Okay. And
can we pick a new name?
And then in his first game, he hits a three-pointer to win the game. How would that make you feel?
If I was an Italian?
If you were an Italian, a fan.
Oh, I'd be elated.
You'd be elated.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Well, that's basically what we have going on right here in America.
So I wasn't sure where you're going with that for a second. I was like, does this man think Messi's Italian?
No, I don't. But we have Lionel Messi here in the United States now, and he played his first game last night.
And it was wild to see, LeBron was there. Kim K was there, yeah. And Serena was there. It was the famous people. Because it's Miami.
Right.
So everyone, just came out.
Going to Miami.
Exactly. I bet he was there.
Yeah. I don't know if he's loud in public anymore.
Well, it's he's going to have to take some penance. I knew it was happening, but I was like, this is a pretty good Braves game. I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
And the Braves game was really good. Then scrolling through Twitter, just seeing he's checking in. I'm like, oh, cool. I wonder why he wasn't starting, but whatever.
Right.
I think the fact that he landed 3 days ago might have something to do with that. but seeing him check in and then, the ovation from the crowd, I was like, all right, that's cool. He's going to get in, whatever. Nothing's going to happen. And then I checked Twitter, the next half inning, like, oh my God, he hit the game winner.
Yeah.
I don't know how exactly. How much time was left on the clock?
Yeah.
But the goal to win the game, I mean, that's
awesome.
That's movies are.
Yeah, right.
If you wrote that in a script and then gave that to the director, he would say, this isn't believable. rewrite, please. he can't come into the game and then hit, the game.
Exactly.
That's not.
Yeah.
That's Mickey Mouse stuff. That's not real.
Have you seen any of the highlights of how he played and how the game went in general?
I saw the final goal. I saw Yosef Martinez was on the field, which makes me sad and happy because he's a Atlanta United legend.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I'm definitely going to check him out now.
Yeah. Well, I hope you don't plan to get tickets to see him when he comes here in September because those tickets are already through the roof.
My brother-in-law sold his.
Oh, no.
Because,
No, that's good.
Yeah.
How much did you get for him?
I don't remember, but a decent chunk of change.
Enough to pay for season tickets for next year?
Yes. That's what I was told, at least.
At first,
he was like, I want to see him. And I was like, he signed a three-year deal, man.
He's
going to be back next year.
Right.
You might as well take the chunk of change.
How old is Messi, do you know? He's in his mid-30s, right?
Yeah.
I want to say.
That sounds right.
So,
what I think is interesting though is we've seen the old star, David Beckham.
I remember David Beckham was a huge deal when he came.
But
to
I don't think soccer was as big of a deal.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And so that's why I didn't have this appeal.
Well, that's my question. My question for you is, first of all, Messi is beyond just being an old star. He's maybe arguably the best soccer player of all time. And he's coming here to the United States, playing for Miami with a couple years left of, I think, viability of actual skill and talent, right?
Well, he could probably play here. No one in MLS is
anywhere near.
Well, and no one's going to be going for his leg. He's going to have a pretty solid.
So my question is, I feel like we've been waiting for something like this since I was 15. So 25 years, we've been waiting for this kind of. This break for the MLS, for soccer in America in general. Soccer has been struggling. I know 20 years ago I said it was going to become the second biggest sport in the United States. It has not yet done that.
No, it's growing.
It's growing. But it's still I think in a lot of people's minds, it's still on the same level as hockey.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And I'm baffled by that because it feels like the MLS has done quite a bit to kind of pour resources in. We're pulling these kind of other these players. You know, Messi's not the only one who's in the league who's a solid European player.
Zlatan was here a couple years ago. Might still be here.
In your assessment, you know, in your professional assessment of soccer in America. How do you feel like we're trending here? How do you feel like soccer?
I mean,
going?
I definitely think things are. And now we might also think it's growing because Atlanta United's a big deal here.
Right. Brought Atlanta the first championship since like '95. You know.
Yeah.
So a big deal.
But, and so that might have skewed our opinion on like the state of it. But I think it's definitely getting better. But I think bringing in a big star, because all right, so Atlanta United's model was let's go get the young guys, and then we'll ship them off in a couple years.
Yeah.
However, the MLS's model is let's go get the old grizzled guy.
Uh-huh.
And so
uh-huh.
It's kind of like, you know, the pro wrestling. We bring in the old guy to put over the new guys. Yeah. So that's kind of what I think is kind of obvious, what this could do.
Obviously, that's a model that is not sustainable over the long haul. It's
not sustainable if you want to be one of the big guys.
Right. So
if you want to stay middle tier, then you're doing great.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
But if you want MLS to grow into being something that's globally recognized as an elite league, which is, I assume, what MLS wants.
Yeah.
You know, they want it on the same level as Premier League.
Which I would be interested to see, like, how an MLS team stacks up. Not to, like, how the MLS stacks up to some of the middle leagues in Europe.
Yeah.
We're definitely not the Premier League.
Yeah.
We're definitely not the Champion League.
I heard someone somewhere rank it around the level A or B underneath the Premier League in England.
Like, yeah.
So it's not, it's kind of the second rank or maybe even third rank, somewhere between second and third rank.
Yeah. The whole promotion and demotion thing I think is fascinating. But
it is fascinating. I think there's something the NFL can learn from that because we got a lot of teams that need to be relegated.
yeah.
We tried to institute that in our fantasy football league, the one that I run with some friends of mine, and it was a disaster. So it's hard to pull off.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, what was your original question? Sorry, we got.
No, I'm curious as to, you know, like where MLS stands where soccer really stands in American culture right now, or American sports culture.
Mm-hmm.
I know. So with the Ladies World Cup just kicked off,
nice.
The Ladies World Cup, Women's World Cup, right?
Kicked off.
Right. Kicked off. Yeah. No pun intended. But obviously they're dominant. They're great. They're good.
And I think that is, I mean, it's probably one of the bigger women's sports.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, and I think the way we train the youth,
yeah,
is slightly different than the European model.
Sure, sure, sure.
Like for them, it's more of a, if we find you and you're good, you're going to come to this academy
right.
at the age of like
seven.
Four.
Yeah, no, exactly. I remember I had a conversation in a bar in Oxford, Mississippi one time with a guy who's from France. And he was like, look, you guys are never going to be able to compete with
yeah.
European clubs until you do what we do, which is you take a kid, you know, who's going into what we would call kindergarten or first grade,
mm-hmm.
and you put them in an academy where they primarily learn soccer,
yeah.
and then, you know, math and writing and all that stuff.
How to be a human. But
right.
And I think, whereas kind of what we do is like we have those academies to a degree. But it's if your parents can pay for it,
sure,
then you can go
right.
Like, you know, IMG Academy, for example.
Yeah.
And while they're not, you know, necessarily the pay for model, but like a lot of the private coaching that, which is kind of the American version of that.
Yeah.
That's, which I think is on some level flawed. But also, I mean, you know, like until we can get the best athletes in the country.
Well, that's the other thing too,
yeah.
Because most of our best athletes are being funneled into football. Now, you know,
football or basketball.
Basketball, yeah. Because I mean, if we had LeBron James, Julio Jones, you know, like those kind of athletes out there
yeah.
playing
which
for
is,
American
is
soccer,
is such a fun thought topic.
It really is. But
like Calvin Johnson at goalie would be amazing.
I mean, that would be unstoppable.
Yeah.
But he, I saw a stat one time where he could cover a double car garage.
Two car garage. Yeah. I think we saw the same sports science.
Yeah, it's insane. But I thought with all the CTE stuff that broke, 10, 15 years ago, that we would start to see some of the younger kids funneled into soccer. But and soccer has its own CTE problem.
Yeah.
So, there's a situation where,
you're starting to see it more at the youth level. Okay. And like American youth soccer is still like very strong.
What do you think about this? I have a theory that we will not care about soccer or what everyone else calls football, right?
I would like to add that the Europeans are the one who called it soccer first.
Well, in any case, we're not going to care about soccer the way that Europeans do or on any level close to our major sports.
Yeah.
Until the United States at least like makes a World Cup final.
That's accurate.
Right? Can you imagine what that would do? If we made the final, we wouldn't have to win the thing. But if we won the thing, that would be...
Yeah, that'd be great.
I mean...
Because you're seeing some American players... Like playing like Christian Pulisic.
Yeah, he's our best, right?
Not even going to try his last name. You're seeing some guys go over and play in the. So, like, there is talent.
But we need them to stay here.
And so then there comes, do we go with the live model?
Oh.
And we just start dropping stacks on these people.
Where's that money going to come from?
Is it going to come from our oil money? So we got rich people here.
We get ExxonMobil to pay for.
I mean,
that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea.
I sit up here, I talk a big game, but if the Live Tour wants to drop a Brinks truck on us to cover the Live Tour, I'm in.
Oh, absolutely. We are for sale. So Live Tour.
I will.
If there's a representative for the Live Tour that is listening to this podcast, we will become solo Live Tour.
We will change it
big,
to Live Tour McLivy face. Like
McLivin. That's what we'll call it.
Yeah, that's actually a good podcast name. I think, and I don't fault the Americans for going to the Premier League.
Right. I mean, that's where the money is.
Well, and that's where the talent is. That's where, if you really want to prove yourself to be great.
Yeah.
You want to go play in the best tour.
So, off the top of your head, do you know who is the best American that's ever played in the European leagues?
I mean, I would guess probably Tim Howard, the goalie.
Oh, yeah.
Landon Donovan is pretty good at some point.
Yeah.
Freddie Adu was supposed to be that, but then it turned out that he was...
What happened to Freddie Adu?
There was some faulty math on his first
certificate.
Freddie
Adu, where are you?
He's still bouncing around on Twitter, but he was like... 20 when he was supposed to be like 16.
Yeah.
Like there was some.
It is like that kid who threw the perfect game in the Little League World Series like 20 years ago, and he ended up being like 22 years old or something.
Yeah, he was like 15, and everyone else was like 12. Yeah. Which
still a perfect game is a perfect game.
But when you've hit puberty, you have an incredible like.
Here's a challenge for you, Edward, right now. If I put you out as a pitcher against, let's say, a Little League team.
Right now,
could you pitch a perfect game?
I would get crushed right now. But give me like a month to like learn how to pitch. And these kids will be seeing curveballs they've never seen before.
That's something we need to put on the docket for a future Big Sad Fun event. Eddie tries to go for a perfect game against 10-year-olds.
I would gas out real quick. I do not have the gas tank for that.
Well, speaking of some of the American talent that we have that isn't making it onto the soccer field, but is making it onto the football field, but maybe not for much longer because it turns out they're not getting paid enough. Our sad for this week is all the blowback we're hearing from NFL running backs. They're not getting paid enough. They're getting paid less than kickers are getting paid.
Which is ridiculous.
So let's talk about it, though.
And off the top, I want to say, they're making more money than most people.
Sure.
But that has to be stated. However, relative to... For this market.
Right.
I think it
ends up being something like less than $2 million a year.
Yeah.
Right now. And that's the average across the league. There's a lot of running backs in the league. Obviously, there's some who make more than that. But the running back position, when I was a kid, all right, so you don't remember the 90s. You were just a little baby.
I was born in 92.
That's right. In 1992, I was 12 years old. And I remember Emmitt Smith, and I remember Barry Sanders, and I remember Marshawn Faulk, and I remember like all these great Marshall running backs. Fox. Right, right. Marshawn.
Yeah.
Marshall Falk. But then Marshawn Lynch. I remember all these great.
I remember Marshawn Lynch.
I remember all these great running backs growing up. And running back was like one of the key, most important positions, you know, in the league. Now, it's changed in the sense that like you don't have one workhorse guy who really does it all, with a couple of exceptions. And the offenses are way more pass oriented, and obviously, and stuff like that. So the value, the actual monetary value, and the gameplay value of a running back has plummeted.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what do you do? How do you fix a situation like this?
So one thing I do think is interesting, and I'll get to your question when you remind me about it in like a minute when I'm done with this rant.
You got your own thoughts. Yeah, you know, this is how we do. You say what you want to say. I say what I want to say.
And eventually,
and maybe we talk to each other at some point.
But like, when you look at the successful teams, you need a good running game.
Sure, but you don't need a good running back.
Well, and
you don't need a superstar running back. Let's put it that way.
And it's also like, you can get one in the sixth round.
Sure.
And but, you know, like, I definitely think the running backs have a case to be angry.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Because, like, if you took away the running game from the Vikings.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins is great. Loved watching him on the show Quarterback.
Patrick Mahomes says that he's the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. I read that today.
I would agree with that. Statistically, great. But, like, the Eagles, we agree, a good team.
Yeah,
definitely. At Super Bowl.
Unfortunately, I have to admit, they are
but, like,
a good
they
team.
Have a great running game.
Yeah.
It's like the Chiefs also have a great running game.
Sure.
Like, you have to have that aspect of your game. And I think the cyclical nature of football.
Yeah.
Like, I think kind of what Arthur Smith is doing, where he can kind of play them as positionless players.
Yeah.
I think that's going to become more the norm.
Yeah.
Well,
let me ask you about the trickle-down effect of doing that, though.
Okay, all
right?
Okay.
Because here's what's going to happen. I would imagine, you know, you're right, that there's a cycle that's going on here. You're going to have less and less of our best athletes wanting to be running backs.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to want to be tight ends, or they're going to want to be wide receivers. They're going to want to be whatever positionless position that they can get. So you're going to have less running backs to pull from, I guess. So you're not, maybe you can't get that guy in the sixth round that you thought you could, right? You know, 5-10 years from now. So is there a situation where this swings back the other way, or are we done with running backs in the NFL? With the one guy, what I'm talking about, the workhorse guy. Is Derrick Henry the last of the great?
I think I don't think you're ever going to have one guy who gets
300 carries a year.
Like, I don't think, just the wear and tear of your body.
Yeah.
I don't think that's sustainable.
Yeah. It's definitely not. I mean,
just
look at Ezekiel Elliott, who was a superstar when he came out as a rookie. Should have had rookie of the year if Dak hadn't stole it from him.
That's a good story. It's hard to beat that one.
He's slowly, you know, the wheels have come off, and now nobody wants him. Nobody wants to touch him. Not even the Cowboys. They're not going to take him back on a minimum deal.
Which is wild, but, you know, like, you only have so many hits,
right?
In theory, like you're.
I need to say the career average is 3 years for a running back.
And you know, I mean, there will still be anomalies.
So, is there a way to fix this, though? Is there a way to make running backs happy? Because obviously, this is what the market dictates, and this is what you're worth.
I think the market will correct itself.
Yeah,
I think.
But you're done. We're done paying $15 million a year to running backs, aren't we? Ezekiel Elliott's the last
maybe
person broke off of
15 a year.
I mean, it's a lot.
That's a lot for one running back. Especially, like, they get injured a lot.
I'm going to say,
it's why I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with it. I think they kind of, this goes to a whole different issue, but I think there needs to be a quarterback cap and then a rest of the team cap.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
Yeah, but
that's not a bad idea.
Because, like, I think, whenever they raise the cap, it just means quarterbacks get more money. There's less to spread around. But I definitely think that the talent will be there to play running back. But I don't think you're going to have the mega deals, but they have to be getting more than $2 million a year. There has to be some middle ground here.
Maybe. I mean, we'll see. Let me ask you this. So you guys drafted Bijan Robinson, you know, in the first round. I really wanted the Cowboys to do that because the only reason being, not because Bijan is like transcendent talent, which he might be. It seems like he might be. But because you get to lock him up for 5 years. And then after that, you can go get another guy because he's going to be done in 5 years, right?
Well, here's the other thing with the Bijan, with the Falcons situation. is that there are other running backs.
He's one of like 18 that you have. So
like we,
you
we can have, mix it we up, have Cordell Patterson.
Yeah.
We have the rookie whose name I'm forgetting right now. And the other rookie whose name
Algier.
Yes, Algier.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like there's a it's Cordell. a very good running back room. And so he's not gonna have to take, you know, 100 hits this year.
But is that also
well, he's gonna take more than 100 hits?
That's also a way that you can limit his value too, right? Because if he's only getting 100 carries a
well,
year,
so
or he's only touching the ball 200 times a year, like
well, and that's why I think positionless football, that's because the position's gonna have to change.
Yeah,
similar to what happened with fullback.
Yeah. We have like 4 teams in the NFL that have fullbacks,
I mean, and I love fullbacks.
Yeah,
I think it's, and I mean, I think that player can truly stress a defense, but often that's a whole nother topic.
You digress.
I digress. Like, I think they have to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah.
They're going to have to be able to line up at slot receiver.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, they're going to have to be deep, like Deebo Samuel.
So, I mean, you're saying the big guy's gone. The big guy's done. The 230-pound.
Well, but I think when a player can prove, like, hey, I'm more than just a running back. Like, y'all use me as a receiver.
Yeah.
Then they have the marketing tool, or the marketing tool.
They're able to pay him.
They have the bargaining chip.
Bargaining chip to be able to pay.
Of, well, then I want receiver and running back money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I think it's going.
Yeah.
However, I have the Vikings running back from last year who they released.
Dalvin Cook.
I have Dalvin Cook on my fantasy
He's
legacy
gonna be
team.
Cowboy.
I need for someone to pick him up because
somebody will. He's a superstar.
Yeah.
They said the other day that the running back salary cap. No, see the running back. What is it called? The franchise tag running back went down. It's the only position in the history of the franchise tag. It's the actually price of it went down this past year. So, I mean, we really are in a dire time for running backs in the
NFL.
And
it's so weird just because like the thing I can't get past is like that you still have to have a great running game. Like, and even if all 32 of the starting running backs said, we're holding out until
which they can't do. I mean, according to the NFLPA,
the 32 running backs in the XFL, well, they'll have their phone on.
Yeah, they'll step up, right? I mean, even if that's exactly right. So just as a way to finish this conversation, though, who's the best running back of all time?
All time,
who would you take?
I mean, I think you got to go Walter Payton.
Walter Payton's great. What about Barry Sanders?
I mean, he's up there.
I put my money on Emmitt Smith every time.
I mean, of course you would.
I'm not a homer. It's fine.
But I do love going back and watching old Walter Payton runs.
He's good. He's smooth. Man, he's beautiful.
Jim Brown. Jim Brown is great,
Jim
too.
Jim Brown. I mean, there's...
Rest in peace.
Marshall Faulk. I mean, I would throw his name in the hat for being one of the greatest of all time. Just, he revolutionized the position. He's the reason why we're in this position in the first place. I mean, he's the one.
Because he kept playing...
He's the one who slid down to the slot, you know. And
but then he got that ridiculous contract from the Cardinals at the end of his career.
Yeah.
And, like, it was terrible. But he was, like, 34. But I will say, just while we're chatting about running backs, and obviously I'm a homer here, but I so wish Herschel didn't go to the Canadian or go to the USFL.
Yeah.
Because he could have been so great in the NFL.
He could have been. And he still was.
He was good in the NFL.
He was playing for the Cowboys when he was almost like 40 years old as a kick returner.
Yeah.
And he was great. He was awesome.
I believe at one point he led the USFL in like rushing yards, kick return yards, and receiving yards.
Yeah.
Like something absurd like that.
He was amazing. You know, another shout out to a fallen hero, Marcus Dupree. Did you ever follow him or know anything about him? He was amazing in Oklahoma.
I know this name. Why do I know this name?
Yeah, he was a superstar in Oklahoma and ended up getting hurt. Played for the Saints, I think.
Yes. There was a 30 on him.
Yeah,
the best it ever was.
Best it ever was. That's exactly right. That's who he was.
He like set the Rose Bowl record in like one half.
300 yards or something like that. I guess All right, well, let's shift continents one more time and talk about Japan and talk about sumo wrestling. Now, if I were to ask you, what do sumo wrestlers like to do, or what other sport do you think they could be good at? What would you say?
I mean, the direct one-to-one correlation there is football.
Well, funnily enough, we have a Japanese sumo wrestler, I guess professional sumo wrestler, semi-professional.
He won like the national championship as a college kid.
Well, he's going to be playing in Colorado as a defensive lineman next year.
Let me pull up his name.
What do you, you gotta tell me what you think about the situation.
I will. I tweeted about it from at Big Sad Fun.
Yes.
Hidetora Hanada.
you're just going to butcher that name. I had it pulled up
earlier. Big fan of you, Cuzzy. Sorry that I got your name wrong. But yeah, so he was a national champion sumo guy, and he's measurables. It's all in like kilograms. So I don't.
Yeah, who knows what that even means? Big. He's big.
Well, he's like similar build to Aaron Donald.
Okay.
So he's a little undersized, but he was like, I was undersized in sumo wrestling the entire time too.
Do we know, like, has he played football ever?
Good question. So he has been, I've recently gotten into Japanese football because I love the idea of football becoming.
I didn't even know Japan had a football.
Yes, like, which I think is fascinating.
That's insane. Okay.
But I've been fascinated with the idea of football becoming a global game.
Okay.
And I think this is a big step. And now there have been players from Japan before.
Yeah.
There have been like walk-ons.
Sure.
But he's the first like kind of higher profile ones.
And there's a
But so he played in the, I don't think he got in. Like he started playing recently.
Okay.
Like he was like, oh, football looks fun. I'm going to try that. And he's been on like the practice squad team.
Do you
for
know?
For an X league, which is the pro league.
Okay.
And then he was, because he played in the Dream Bowl, which is Japan's college all-stars versus the Ivy League all-stars.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he got into that game.
Okay.
But there has been footage of him from the CFL tryout, Canadian Football League.
And he didn't make the CFL?
Well, it was just a tryout. It was a pro day.
Okay.
It was like a combine type deal.
Yeah, okay.
So that colleges, because he's 21,
all right.
For colleges to come look at him. And he looked pretty solid.
Yeah.
Like there's more technique there than I thought there would be.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what happens with
him. I'm curious, like, because I don't know a lot about sumo wrestling. Obviously, I've seen it on TV a few times, and
yeah, I don't know the rules. I know
I'm just generally wondering if the technique translates.
Push a guy out of a circle,
which is, I mean, that sounds
like playing offensive
line.
It
sounds like the defensive or offensive line.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're trying to push a guy out of a circle and go get somebody or protect somebody, right?
It seems like
the skills would translate.
You know, nothing is a direct one-to-one.
Sure.
Like, you know, you have to move laterally more.
Right.
But out of any other sport, it's the closest thing to offensive defensive line. So that's why I'm excited because, I mean, I think if the more pathways to people playing, the better kind of football gets.
Yeah.
And then people stop talking about soccer.
It's kind of like it's kind of the opposite of what we opened up with today,
yes,
which is rather than trying to make soccer so big here in America, we're trying to make football big outside of America in the world.
And like, obviously football's fairly big, in like England.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they get that game every year.
That's a question I have for you though. As we kind of continue this fun conversation we're having, now, for, you know, a couple games a year, they can sell out Wembley Stadium to see the Jaguars play somebody, right?
Awesome.
But do you think that they could actually support eight games, an actual team?
An NFL team?
An NFL team in London. Or do you think that it would wear off?
It'd be kind of tough.
Yeah.
I don't think they're there yet.
Yeah.
But I think they're slowly. The other thing is, man, that would just be, I think every other team would hate that.
I mean, I can't imagine.
Players already don't like the London game.
The players don't like going from like Miami to Los Angeles. So I don't know why they would be like, I'm finally going to London.
And it's like such a break in your routine.
Yeah. And do we have a game in Germany this year?
Probably. That's the other place where like.
And Germany.
Germany, it's not big. But
Germany's
like,
kind of got a built-in fan base for the NFL, from what I understand, just because of all the military bases and stuff like that. We've kind of drummed up NFL there with the people of Germany, you know, since
and
the
like
end of World War II.
Like the NFL Europe was a thing.
Yeah.
And like they were.
Was a thing is the key piece there.
Yeah.
Obviously, it didn't work. So that's my question. You know, like I'm curious as to whether or not Goodell's dream here of having a unified world under the shield of the NFL is actually possible. Is it possible that Goodell is the Antichrist and that what he has done now is he's found a way to bring this one world government under the power of football?
Where he is
what a fun conversation.
Him and the owners lead everything. That's one of my favorite South Park bits is the Goodell bot.
Can I say, I'm going to throw in another fun piece while we're talking about football. The Washington Commies finally got sold.
Thank God.
And boy, Snyder got fined like $60 million on his way out the door.
I mean, but he...
Can I just say that's fun? Can I say it's the turmoil of the Washington Commies or Commanders, whatever you want to call them. The turmoil's fun to watch.
The only thing that makes me mad is that he was this habitually terrible person.
Yes.
Like, I think that's beyond argument at this point.
Yes, yes.
And he, like, walks out with, like, $6 billion.
Yeah, well.
And, like, okay, cool, they'll find him. But, you know, and however, staying with the fun... I like that Magic Johnson's in the NFL now.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that. So is he part of the group that bought the Commies?
I don't know much more than that.
I don't know much.
But, yeah, I mean, and I think it's interesting they're going to try and change the name again.
Again? Well, good.
They've mentioned that.
Commanders is a terrible name. It really, I'm disappointed in that name. Washington football team was fine.
Washington football team was fine. I think you get a little weird with it. I think like Redbirds or Redhawks was cool.
You could go like that. You could go.
But they might also just be going like, we're going to do a full rebrand.
Yeah. They may need to. I mean, they may need to just explode that entire thing and rebuild.
They might need to blow it like, not literally, but like, let's go full rebrand.
As much as I hate the team formerly known as the Redskins, as much as I hate that team and that franchise simply because of their rivalry with Dallas, I will say that I feel bad and sorry for any fan of that franchise, because I can't imagine a more difficult time to have gone through the last decade, really. And even, I mean, they haven't won a Super Bowl since Joe Gibbs.
Like,
so.
On the field aside, it's been constantly in flux with their owner being a
since 1999 when he bought the team.
And also, it sucks is like you're a fan of who you're a fan of.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you really can't change, like...
I know. I've tried to change many times.
But, like, if you... Let's say I'm no longer a Braves fan. I'm a Dodgers fan.
Oh, wow.
Like, just... That's just the first two teams popped in my head.
I'm going to pull that quote out of here. And
please don't.
Do something fun with that.
But in, like, you know, I'll be like, the Dodgers are doing great. I'm happy. But then, like, once the Dodgers start doing bad and the Braves are doing good, I'm going to go back to the Braves.
Yeah, because that's where your heart is.
Yeah,
right?
But, like, I mean, you can't change.
You can't choose who you love. Edward, this is a key thing that you need to learn about life if you don't already know it, and people out there need to hear it. You can't choose who you love. You can't choose who you love. You're going to love who you love.
It's interesting. That's not at all where I was going with this.
But it applies to teams. That's what I'm saying. Fandom.
I've felt bad for the fans who've been forced to kind of have to, like, defend the indefensible.
Yeah, and that's exactly right.
But, like, you know, they can't just be like, well, I mean, I didn't vote for the guy. Like, he's just
right.
And it's like, well, how are you a fan of the team? It's like, well, because I grew up liking them.
They get a new start now. Everything gets reset, and I hope they remain a terrible franchise, but I hope it was more fun and peaceable for them. For the fans.
It's gonna be interesting to see what they do. I think after the drama that was them changing the name last time.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I was them, I'd just let Commanders grow on people.
You just have to, at some point, you just got to let it go.
Just, well, because everyone bought up all the domain names, like trademarks, which is hysterical.
Well, that's another fun thing you can throw in here just as on the way out the door. You know, if you ever go to cowboys.com, it ain't the Dallas Cowboys you get. It's a dating site for cowboys.
So is
who love other cowboys?
Is Dallas Cowboys, is it like www.officialdallascowboys.com?
I think there's an official one now, but if you just go to cowboys.com.
That is really funny. I'm sure
Jerry Jones was appalled.
A young James Johnson got very confused.
All right, man. Well, thanks for joining us today. Guys, thanks for listening. That's Big Sad Fun for you this week. We'll see you next week.
Mm-hmm.